Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Federal Court of Appeals heard today the argument on the Maryville Baptist Church. It's a very important church case. I'm going to update you on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, I just completed oral argument before a panel of three judges in the Maryville Baptist Church case out of Kentucky. This particular case is one, Holly, in which we already have 2-3-0 decisions at this same Court of Appeals, but that is involving an emergency injunction pending the appeal. We got those orders, and this leads the country in these 2-3-0 decisions, but now the argument that I just delivered at the Court of Appeals is involving what we call the preliminary injunction. So pray that we ultimately have a good decision in this case. We've already had two from this same Court of Appeals. But here's what ultimately happened. And I think this sets the groundwork for these church issues that are going on around the country. We now have 6 federal Court of Appeals cases pending. This is one of them. In this particular case, on Good Friday, Governor Beshear threatened that any church that holds service on Easter, he will send out law enforcement and they will take down the license plates and VIN numbers and then issue mandatory quarantine for anyone who attends. Well, he actually made good on that unbelievable threat on Good Friday. And so on Easter, Maryville Baptist Church, they met. They had a few people inside, but that wasn't the issue because the authorities never went inside. They had people in the parking lot because they had a parking lot service that was being broadcast through speakers to people in the parking lot. And while the people were in the car with their windows rolled up, the police officers went car to car taking down license plates and VIN numbers and then put notices of quarantine on each vehicle.
Every single vehicle.
Every single vehicle. And, of course, they didn't do that to the liquor stores or the big box centers or the grocery stores that were just a couple of miles away. You could have gone there, turned on the radio, listened to a Christian station. The whole church could have, and they would not have a problem with that.
Right. Plus, you didn't go inside and look and see they were social distancing. They didn't have a whole lot of people in there to begin with. And then to go on the parking lot and think that these people are going to be spreading a virus sitting in their car with the windows up.
With the windows up. And so what ultimately happened is some people drove into the parking lot for that service, and they saw the fact that these cars and these people in the cars were getting ticketed, so they drove away.
You can't blame them for that.
This was on Easter. Easter. And then that was Sunday. It hit the media on Monday, of course. And then a few people that were working at, quote, essential businesses went to work. And of course, this was just a bogus quarantine notice trying to intimidate. They didn't have any symptoms. So why would they want to quarantine themselves? But it hit the media that they got this notice of quarantine. And the employers on some of them either put them on furlough when they found out or even terminated some longtime employees.
Because they went to church that Sunday.
Because they went to church and they saw, oh, the governor put you in quarantine, but you're not in quarantine. It was bogus. Well, on Thursday of that week, the governor followed up with that and sent out letters to everybody and said that you and all your occupants have to go into 14-day quarantine. You can't travel outside the county. You can't travel outside of the state. You can't travel in certain kinds of other transportation. Even if you have an emergency and you wanted an ambulance, you had to get permission.
And you take your temperature every day at the same time.
And report it to the health department.
I remember we talked about that couple that they went voluntarily to have to be tested, and they ended up putting them on a lockdown. Remember? And
put that was a different situation, but that was also
still in Kentucky.
That was Kentucky. Was not involving this church case, but it was because they wanted to go get tested at a facility because they were going to visit, I think, some of their elderly relatives.
Right.
And as a result of that, they wanted to put them in isolation, which they said, okay, we'll do that. But then they wanted them to sign a form. And the form said that, just like what we had, mm-hmm. you couldn't use the ambulance without getting prior permission. We're talking about a 911 call.
Right, and they have a baby.
And now it's at, you know, midnight on the weekend.
Right.
And you have to call some government bureaucrat that's not there because it's the weekend, and you can't get permission, so you can't ride in an ambulance because you've got an emergency. So the mom said, I can't do that because that would put my family at risk. Right. We'll quarantine, no problem. And what they did was they gave them ankle bracelets.
Yeah, and this couple had a young child, so they're not going to sign something like that to say we can't, if we have an emergency with our baby, we can't take it to the hospital. That's ludicrous.
It's ridiculous, but we got the same notice.
Right.
So we then asked the court to intervene. The lower judge ultimately denied us on a Saturday afternoon. We went immediately to the Court of Appeals for an emergency injunction pending the appeal. That was granted the following Saturday afternoon. It was for parking lot services. They wanted to have some more briefing, more activity in the lower court on the in-person services. A week later, on Saturday afternoon, they came back with the second 3-0 decision on an injunction pending appeal, granted us the in-person services, and blocked the governor's order.
And, you know, we appreciate the Kentucky's attorney general because he filed amicus briefs on both those cases.
Yeah, he's the one that's, you know, gotten a little bit of heat recently over this situation with the person dying. And he gave the information about the grand jury. You know, it's the grand jury, and it is what it is in terms of their position. But he is a great attorney general.
He is.
And his office wrote a very good brief multiple times for us. And also, what now is happening is the case is still moving. The governor has the injunction against him, so we do have freedom for the churches, but he wants the injunction to be dissolved. Why? Because he has said he wants the ability to return to his prior restrictions without the court interfering. So that's why the case is still going, and so now this would actually impose a continuing injunction. And that's what we just argued today at the Court of Appeals for what's called the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. And pray for the case because it's a 3-judge panel. It is a big case, and it leads the country. It's the first and only case in the country to have 2-3-0 decisions in favor of houses of worship blocking these governor's orders. And it's our case, and we're waiting now as a result of the oral argument for a decision. Pray for the case. It's Maryville Baptist Church versus Beshear, which is Governor Andy Beshear. He is the Democrat governor, very pro-abortion. And by the way, since we filed the case, the protest and riots have occurred in Kentucky, and he's all in favor of them. He goes out and speaks in favor of them. We have a photograph of him in our brief where he is talking to the protesters at an event. He's on a platform and he's speaking to them, and he's encouraging them to keep doing it. You've got a First Amendment right. But on churches, he wants to ultimately crush them. And this is very, very problematic. This particular pastor has been the pastor for decades.
You know, I was going to say, we really appreciate Jack Roberts because he has stood his ground for his people, for his church, and he understands what's going on.
And at the beginning, he even had pastors that were pushing against him.
Right.
But he, you know, he didn't put up his finger to get a popularity poll contest from pastors or even Christians in the community. He put his finger on the Bible, right, and in prayer, Lord, what do you want me to do, and what does the Bible say? And the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as has become the custom of some people, even though they see the day approaching. And now it's more than ever important for people to gather together and meet.
And the state has no right to shut them down.
No, and in this case, Holly, the state was saying no worship at all. Not even in the parking lot. And yet, abortion clinics where you go in to kill children were considered essential. Liquor stores were essential. They were making one spirit essential and the other spirit not essential. And all the other facilities were essential, all the commercial operations. look, the religious gatherings were being discriminated against when you compare them to similar non-religious gatherings. So this is a great decision that we have, but we want to preserve it. Pray for the case. It's Maryville Baptist Church. I encourage you to go to our website, lc.org, and you can go to lc.org/churches for more information about churches, lc.org/churches. Continue to pray for our cases. We have been in 44 states with about a couple thousand pastors, 6 cases currently pending at the Federal Court of Appeals, in addition to all of our other cases. If you want to support these cases, certainly pray, and also you can go to lc.org. lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org.